All right. Well, we're actually on the last one for Ephesians, the very last week. We have been, after today, we have done 17 sessions on the book of Ephesians. I would like to know, as the guys have, oh, they've gone, they've left me. It's okay, that's good. Is who has been here for all 17 sessions without a break? No sickness, nothing, just you've been here. All right, hands high. You would have been. Shane's saying he would have been, but he's in Hong Kong. That's not good enough. So, one more time. Let's give these guys a hand. How good is that? Graham Firth. Well done. All 17 sessions. Oh. So, here we are on the last one. And I'm not going to go through all the verses in this particular, just about four or five. And we're on where the overall theme is spiritual warfare, part two. But we're going to talk about the word in a minute. I'm going to give you my title. I'm not going to give you my title just yet. But let's just read Ephesians 6, verse 14 through to 18. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Thanks, Conrad. Stand your ground. Everyone say these three words with me. Stand your ground. All right. Putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Now on that, we have our Leap into Spring conference on the 28th of August, and I just wanted to put these on the, you would have got these as you came in today, just so that you can start to pray together as a spouse, with your spouse, and as singles, or whatever your, whoever you live with, so that we can bring an offering over the next 12 months, so that we can continue to be persistent in spreading the gospel around our world. So that's Leap into Spring. We're going to start talking about that next week, the week after, before Pastor Calvin comes and we take our miracle offering. And so I just wanted to put that in there. So for the sake of time, the title of my message this morning is called Stand. Say the word with me. Stand. Now, I want you to put a little bit of emphasis into the stand, like it really means something to you. Ready? One, two, three. Stand! When people go to war, there's always, who's watched some of those movies? And the general or the commander, or if it was, you know, in Scotland or wherever, there's always the guy that gets everybody ready. There's always the guy that actually rounds everyone up and he declares the victory before it's even happened. When we stand, we are declaring that nothing can defeat us. Nothing. Nothing. I'm not sure you're getting this yet. See, good and evil are realities in our world, and we talked about this last week. And if we are to stand on the good side in life, we must have the right arsenal. There are a collection of weapons that will help you and I defeat the various schemes of the enemy. The enemy has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. And so I thought, as a way of getting started today, I'd show you part of the trailer from the movie, The Rundown. Now, this particular movie, while the guys are getting ready to play it for me, is about the man, well, we know him as The Rock. And he is going to rescue will actually take prisoner, because he's a wanted man, from the jungles of Colombia. And all sorts of things happen that you will see on the video. And so just because I thought it would fit perfectly today, we could have fun, but also that we could learn something from this movie, this trailer. Do you think we could do that this morning? Let's play the movie, this trailer anyway. Nice and loud.
Come to the other side of the world.
Is that duct tape?
To finish one last job.
I'm looking for a man. His name's Travis Walker. Brown hair, face like a weasel.
Do I know you?
I'm taking you home, Travis.
What's in Los Angeles?
Your father.
No.
So angry!
Shut up.
If only it were that simple.
Apparently, he stumbled onto a trinket of some value in my jungle.
Yep. I want it back.
Wow.
Whatever my father is paying you, I will double it.
No.
I'll quadruple it.
No.
I'll double it and quadruple it.
Hell no.
I hope you enjoy the fall.
Yeah, what fall?
Find them!
I do not want to fight you. We are not fighting.
Okay, hip-hop. Don't worry, they're little people.
What?
You can take them, they're little.
How do I preach after that? We show domination when we are able to handle a variety of problems and schemes that the enemy throws at us. Some of those may be left field, but all the same, we can handle the pressure and overcome. Now, Paul closes his letter to the Ephesians by giving us the building plans for a life in Christ. He shows us the way to be strong in the Lord. Say it with me, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's verse 10. And so when I was younger, I got into the habit of jogging late at night. I would never think about doing that now. I had a few main routes that I would take from my house when I was living in Balcatta. And toward the end of each run, rather than slow down or simply jog it to the finish, I would sprint as fast as I could to the end, back to my house. And after a few weeks of following the same routine, I found that my stamina in the sprint and my overall time had decreased. And as a result, I could run further in the same amount of time and exert far more energy in the sprint than I could previously. See, we can start anything well, but unless we have a plan that we are working with, unless we have certain procedures and routes that we follow, we are likely not to finish well. And I am sure that if you were to ask Dwayne Johnson, who is The Rock, how he keeps in shape, he'd say hard work, good diet, and regular work, grueling workouts. In order for you as a Christian to finish well, you must work hard. I'm talking about believing what the gospel says. As Renske said today, there's all these other thoughts, but taking authority over those thoughts because Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Let's say it together. Jesus loves me. That's one of the greatest principles you can have in your life, because it will help you to win. It'll help you to finish well. You see, we have to have a good diet. And also, we have to regularly work out in order to maintain the full armor of God. That we have to have a good diet. Who knows that the Bible and our prayer life are very important. And also the full armor of God, because we're doing certain things, I want to talk about this through the message, we actually feel more empowered so that we can get through whatever situation is in front of us. Because good and evil are realities in our world. And if we are to stay on the good side in life, we must have, as I'm saying, the right arsenal. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'd like you to draw your attention to the way Paul has written this sentence. Stand therefore. He is past tense. Paul is saying that you do not put your armor on in the middle of battle. The arrows are coming down around you. Some of them are fiery. Oh, where did I put my armor? Where's my shield? I've got to go and find it. Splat. You have readied yourself. You have your routine down pat. And you are confident in the victory because you have already put the hard yards in. You will stand because rather than having an unhealthy interest in the devil and rather than not believing in him at all, you know your God. Does anyone know their God here today? Stand. From the expositor's Greek dictionary means this: the spiritual warrior who has kept his position victorious and stood above his conquered foe in one evil day to take his stand again, ready to face another such critical day, should it come. The spiritual warrior who has kept his position victorious. You can't stop training. When the circumstances are good, we can tend to coast. It may mean that when things are good that you do not have a particularly strong prayer life. It may mean we tend not to read our Bibles as regularly as we should. It may mean that we can take or leave attending church. It may mean that we forget about serving. When things are going well, you are busy but not necessarily involved in deep spiritual change. Yeah. And when we forget about spiritual training, we can't stand when the enemy comes out of left field unexpectedly. Suddenly there's a monkey that you didn't expect to see. You see, there's a scramble in our lives to get back to church when things start to go wrong. But the problem is that it's often too late because you're already surrounded. The enemy's already camped himself because you haven't actually got your armor on ready to defeat him. And so the little things are important. When Sean William Scott, said to The Rock in the rundown in that last little part of the movie, they're little people. Who loves little people? We all do. We love every little person. Just making that clear. This is not about little people. All right? We love all our Filipinos. We love all our Asian people. We love whoever you are, if you're little, we love you. Just making that clear. And he looks at him with that cheeky grin and he says, they're little, you can take them. Don't underestimate the power of little things. When you and I stand, we are fortifying our soul. And fortifying our soul takes time. it is not a quick fix. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The warrior puts on righteousness as a breastplate. What does a bulletproof vest do? It stops the bullets. It protects the most important organ in our body, which is our heart. And so the Christian protects himself by righteousness. When you are clothed with righteousness, you are impregnable. There are skirmishes going on every day of your life. A skirmish, according to the dictionary, is an episode or irregular or unpremeditated fighting, especially between small or outlying parties of armies or fleets. There is not normally a day that goes by when we have the opportunity to be impatient with somebody, or to be irritable, or to be grumpy. And it affects our mannerisms and our behavior. If we do not deal with the little skirmishes, we will harden our heart and eventually we will become bitter. Another skirmish that likely affects many of us every day is worry. And although Satan does not leave fang marks on our flesh, he does leave lies in our heart. When John Finkelde asked last Sunday night at Wellard what would be the number one thing that the devil uses against you, which is a great question to ask yourself, I would say for me, it is worry. I'm sure if I asked for hands, there'd be a number of us would be in a similar category, over concerning myself about things that I actually can't fix anyway and need to leave in God's hands. And Aunt Andrea asked me on the way back from Wellard, what's your... She has a habit of doing this. Driving home from Wellard. You know, she's got me for 25 minutes in the car. So we drive back to Fremantle. What's the thing? What is it for you? And I said... I didn't hear that, so it just went straight over my head. Yeah, I do that anyway. So I sort of averted the question and said, what is it for you? But you know, and I think this is because we asked at Connect Group this week, I asked a number of our, for a lot of men, it's the same thing. We worry about our financial situation. We worry. There's nothing we can do, but we worry. Sometimes we lose sleep over it, depending on, you know. So you have to look at the heart if you want to see where the battlefield is. And I'm not sure that you're getting this quite yet. You see, when someone is really irritating you, listen to the thoughts of your heart. You may be saying things like this as they're talking to you. What a moron. You idiot. How the heck did you end up like that? You know, it goes on. Dear Lord, just... Yeah. So what... Don't come for me to get out of this. What about if you did this? Now, this is training. Who's ready for some training? Yeah. Start talking to the Lord instead of saying, what an idiot. I wonder what I look like to you, Lord. I wonder that time when I messed up. And we start being honest about who we are. I look pretty stupid at times, Lord. Sometimes, if I'm honest, I'm an idiot. But you are patient with me. When there is a skirmish, we either allow a chink in our armor or we recognize our fault and start to rectify it. Worry. Let's talk about this a little bit. more. Being anxious is because we think too much. It's got to come through or else. I won't ask who's ever thought that. Or else what? Most of us, for worry, it's a form of pride. I know exactly how the day is going to go, and I'm afraid that God is not going to get it right. Just in case we missed it, because I stumbled a little bit, most of our worry is a form of pride. I know exactly how the day is going to go, and I'm afraid that God is not going to get it right. We can do something about the thoughts of our heart. The imputed righteousness of God is appropriated by a faithful and obedient response to Him. We are regenerated, made over into new creations by Christ, dwelling within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our passions then are redirected. Dealing with the skirmishes every day is important. It's important to listen to the thoughts of our heart so that we can do something about them. Why is this so vital? So that when the big battles come, you and I are ready. And my observation would be that far too many believers are not well armed because they do not deal with the skirmishes, and so their hearts are penetrable. Winston Churchill, in World War II, thread his naval fleet. He was young and cocky at this stage. World War I, sorry. And he actually admitted that he thought he had a great plan that was going to be totally successful. We all know that because of Winston Churchill in World War II that we have our freedom here in the Western world, to some degree at least. And so anyway, World War I, he decided that he'd thread his naval fleet through the needle of the Dardanelles, a narrow 38-mile strait, in order to seize control of Turkey and Constantinople, which today is Istanbul. The goal was to gain control of strategic waterways, linking the Black Sea in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. And unfortunately, the British Navy underestimated the schemes of the enemy, and three key warships got caught by unseen mines and went down. What was meant to be a quick strike against the enemy became a nine-month ordeal of pain and loss, and we know it as Gallipoli today, 46,000 Allied troops, as well as 65,000 Turkish troops lost their life. And one of the reports I read said that there was both incompetency and hesitancy by military commanders. I say all that to say this: we will lack the intelligence and be hesitant about our unseen enemy when we first and foremost forget the most important pieces of our armor, our breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth. For the most part, these two items of clothing go unseen, but without them, we are history. Put your flak jacket on. Turn to your neighbor, put your flak jacket on. See, keeping the heart secure in His love, settling skirmishes early, and second, we have the belt of truth firmly secured. The belt held everything close to the body. Girls, you know about this more than I do. It allowed free movement, and therefore the soldier would not get caught up. And so the belt of truth, here's a verse that's really appropriate here. Let the words of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Slightly different translation, that's okay. You won't be caught up because you have the word of God dwelling within you. See, this is a particularly important because the belt of the soldier housed his sword. Everyone put their sword on with me today. Whew, all right? Let a belt of truth, righteousness, sword. I'd make a good commandant, wouldn't I? Anyway. You won't be caught up Because what? You have the Word of God dwelling within you. The belt of the soldier houses the sword. We need to wield our sword of truth. There are times we need to, what? We need to? Come on, give me a demonstration. We have to wield our sword. We actually have to wield it. We take the sword. We take the Word of God. We're already comfortable in who we are because we know that God loves us. It's the first three chapters of Ephesians. He spends time on it so that we get that whatever else, God loves us. And then we actually have the Word of God and we take it, we wield it like a sword, and the Spirit, we defeat the powers of darkness in our lives. We defeat those things that come into our minds. I'm not worthy. Who says you're not worthy? My Bible says, I kill you. We take the Word of God. We actually pull out our sword because we've got faith in our hearts and we're prepared to use it, and we launch out sometimes at the devil because we know that he has lost the victory anyway. You see, I'm not sure you're getting this quite yet. There was this storm in Luke chapter 8, where Jesus and the disciples are going, he actually says we're going to cross over to the other side of the lake. And in the middle of Jesus decides he's going to have a sleep. It must have been a decent boat because he was sound asleep. And the disciples are facing this incredibly bad storm. And the reason why they were having a bad storm was because Jesus knew he was getting to the other side. He was going to deliver a man from a legion of demons and defeat the powers of darkness. But along the way, there's this massive storm. Who knows that when we do good, that the devil tries to come and bring a storm against your life. And so the waves whip up and they're about to capsize the boat. Why isn't Jesus doing something about this? Where is he? I can't believe he's asleep. So Peter, being the tough guy that he's supposed to be, grabs him. Jesus! Jesus! Can't you see we're dying? And Jesus says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Not, why don't you have more faith? Not, why are you panicking? You see, in a test, in theory, we can get things right. But instinctively, I'm going to die. You see, the armor learns to take the truth of the Word of God and not only know it as head knowledge, but it goes, because we have we're praying in the Spirit, because we have the Word of God in our hearts, it translates through us into every part of our being, and we take up the sword of the Spirit and we stand. When you are living as an infinitely loved person, there is not much that is going to be able to destroy you. So be careful what you allow to get into your heart on a daily basis. Our reflexes must be trained toward God, or we will falter in real battles. I'm not talking here about willpower, by the way. Willpower is mechanical. Willpower is, if I do this, this will happen. The thoughts of your heart end up leading to the feelings of your heart. So if you wish to gain control of your anger, you must recognize that Satan is always trying to make the situation look worse than it is. He always puts lies in our hearts. So you can grit your teeth. I'm not going to react. I'm not going to be angry. But why do you want to be angry in the first place? Why are you tempted? Why are you being seduced? Why are you simmering? Why are you always unhappy? Why are you constantly anxious? Find out what your heart is saying. Yeah. See, if your heart is saying, I can do that, It's not that bad. And anyway, even though it's wrong, God will forgive me. Ephesians 3:13. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. How do you know that you will want to repent once you have already decided to do that thing? Sin is a suicidal action of the will against itself. Every time you do something wrong, it makes it harder for you to resist doing it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And forget not the benefits that I have in you, God. Oh, what will it be? What will it be today, church? Drift, coast, or push in to the power of the living God in your life? See, the belt of truth is the foundation of all you are in Christ. It holds the word, sword of the Spirit. It keeps the word close at hand. The breastplate reminds you of who you are in Christ. It is learning how to put the word into your heart to create new instincts. Who'd like better reflexes in God today? I'm sure we all would. So let me just make it as simple as possible. And it's more than this, but this is a start. Bible, prayer. Say it with me. Bible, prayer. Bible, prayer. Bible, prayer. Bible, prayer. When we were seeking development approval for this building, there were a lot of voices. There had never been a church like this in Fremantle. And so there were some opposing voices, people not for us, who didn't like or didn't understand the role that the church plays in the community. And some people started listening to those voices at the time. And some of those people actually said to me, you know, these guys have some valid points about why we shouldn't get development approval for our church. Maybe this is not a good place for us to have our church. Maybe there's somewhere else. When we know from God and we're standing and we're, in my case, leading other people, you've got to stand on what you know is right in God. You see, it says in Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. If we weren't praying, and many of us were, if we were not in His Word at the time and in the power of the Holy Spirit, if I did not have my board saying, no, let's keep going, we can do this against all the odds, then we may have faltered. I may have faltered as well. But I'm glad we didn't, and we were able to lead you into the promised land that God had for you and I. And ultimately what that means is that we grow in our faith and we have the enemy under our feet. And we have to put on the full armor of God. The Word of God. In church, friends, yourself. When we have the Word of God, we need to be in church with other people. We need to be reading our Bible for ourselves, and we need like connect groups and friends around us. I noticed it last night. We had some young adults over and I couldn't believe it. Suddenly we started talking about things about the Word of God. And then there's prayer in church with our friends and by yourself. Put it on. Can we train ourselves today, church? Can we have a good diet? Watch what we see and what we watch with our eyes. You know, let me finish with this. God is the greatest spiritual warrior of all time. He doesn't take it lightly when His people are being oppressed. So if you're feeling like, whenever you get those thoughts, no, I'm not good enough, or this, that, and the other, you know immediately that that's not God, that's the devil trying to get at you. All you got to do is say, thank you, Jesus, you love me, I can defeat this thing in your name. See, He told Moses to warn Pharaoh, but Pharaoh wouldn't listen. The plague after plague came, but we are told Pharaoh hardened his heart toward God. And yet the Great Escape is the most incredible piece of war history, because God used the faith of Moses to bring about the victory for his people. He raised his staff, he stretched out his hand, the east wind blew, and the whole of the Red Sea parted. And you know, I looked this up, it was at least 3 million people went through. At least 3 million people. That would have taken quite a long time. God is capable of doing any great work that is required. Miriam sang the victory song. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. And later on in the history of Israel, the people turn their backs on God. And God goes to war against them. Now, why did he do that? Because God is against evil, whoever does it. And the prophets are screaming for answers at the end of the Old Testament, but there doesn't seem to be an end to the people's sin against God. You have got to feel for guys like Jeremiah. The people simply wouldn't listen. They said to him things like this: that's hopeless, we're not going to do that. We are going to do it according to our plans. Come, let's devise plans against Jeremiah. But God had a plan. He sent Jesus. He took the sin away. He healed. He delivers, not by force, but by bringing peace into our hearts and lives. We are able to go to the next level of faith because we have put on the full armor of God. Stand with me, church. Let's stand together this morning. We put on the full armor of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the crucial parts that we don't see very much, but they are so important. Lord, we put on the belt of truth today. Lord, we thank you for the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of your spirit. We thank you for the peace of the gospel. We thank you for your helmet of salvation. We thank you that you love us infinitely today. And Father, I pray that we would be a people that have peace on our lips and determined to grow up in you, Lord. That we train ourselves, that we have a good diet, and that we, at times, we do grueling workouts. We keep going to church even though sometimes it hurts. We keep turning up. We keep going to Connect Group. We work out our differences. We do those things we need to do because we're going to guard our hearts with the truth of his word so that we can be effective in spreading the good news of the gospel wherever we go. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing a victory song to finish. Thanks, Jesus.